Survivor Specialist John and McKenna are back, as always, with Kyle to break down another set of five seasons. Phil was too scared to face me against Parvati in two of Final Tribal Councils, so he decided not to show up for this one because he was a little scared. So we are gonna dive right into this and talk season 16 through 20. And I am excited because these are this is a great crop of seasons.
It sure is. We're still continuing like the golden age of Survivor, as a lot of people put it. But I've been struggling to think of a tone or a category, a way that I could categorize this group here. I feel like it's a very mixed bag. So I'm curious to see where our discussion is going to go.
I don't know. I think that the majority of this grouping are kind of like our hard stumpers for Final Tribal Councils. I think these are some of the most opinionated first jurors we have through the entire stretch of seasons. And as we progress through this, I think we're going to see it more and more. And then we kind of lose it when we get to Heroes versus Villains. But I think there's kind of a reason for that. But this is a stretch of seasons that have some pretty impactful jurors on them, I would say. And I think it's a lot more impactful than what we saw in that last batch we discussed last week.
Yeah. So let's dive right into it. I mean, we are starting off with Micronesia, and Eliza is our first juror here. So her vote out episode is the effing stick situation. She thinks she's going to dupe the entire tribe. And then Jason reveals the stick and she's like, well, are you trying to pull one over on me or what? And he legit thinks this is the idol because it has a face on it. And she's just like, well, all right, see you later.
John, I want you to start.
Eliza's in an interesting situation here because I genuinely believe she did not want to vote for either of these finalists.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it.
The way that Parvati spoke about her in the game behind her back really soured her to Parvati's game. And I think she just viewed Amanda as, I don't even know how exactly to say it. I mean, in her final tribal council question, she mentions like her being superficial. I don't even think that's really the best word to describe how Eliza felt about Amanda. It's more that she felt that she had no agency, I think is a better way of putting it. Like, there's no way she had control of this game. And the way she's talked, she's a bit vapid at times, I think. I think we as viewers don't see that side of Amanda because Amanda kind of gets edited in a way to see like, seem like she's a little more involved with things and a little more controlling. And I think she is like has a better strategic mind than she may seem to put forward in the game, especially when you take into account a Final Tribal Council performance by Amanda Kimmel is like one of the worst that you could possibly do, except for ones that we'll talk about in a couple of seasons here. However, Eliza still has to vote for someone. And I think what's really important about this in Fans versus Favorites, a season that is dictated by half returning players and half new players, they didn't have to get Eliza out here. There was no reason for this majority of returning players who were running this game at this point to do so, right? You still had James there. You still had Ozzy there. The aforementioned Final Tribal Council competitors and Suri there. And Eliza, like, you have a stranglehold on this game if you wanted to stick with the returning players. However, is it important to put a returning player into this first juror position? And I think that's really what it comes down to here. It's having Eliza there as a first juror does set the tone for the jury in a way where it's more beneficial to the player who is better to articulate their strategic game rather than their social game.
Yeah, that's probably true. What I struggle with Eliza is to figure out exactly what tone or how she affects this, because like she is one of the most opinionated jurors, right? Her first season is as well as this season, her face is like it's legendary. But like you said, she doesn't want to vote for either one of these two players. So it's like she does set a tone in a way where it's like she's bitter at both of them. But she's not like championing someone, or the bitter tone is not negatively affecting somebody in the final tribal, like we've seen before. So it's she's very opinionated, but in a way it's kind of toneless because it doesn't, I think, affect this result very much.
Yeah, she's like, I hate both of you, but we'll see what happens when it gets to my vote, because I'm going to be sitting and listening to everybody else's questions. This is just how I feel. So I'm going to base my answer off of what I get out of the other questions. So, you know, make sure you answer those with honesty, and really, you know, express your game through those. Because I don't really have many. I don't really have any thoughts for you guys because you suck.
Go ahead, guys.
What do you know?
Here's another thing. Since we're talking about her question, like I would expect a more impactful question from someone like Eliza, because this is a tribal council with like a couple legendary questions, right? A couple memorable jury speeches. And I think Eliza is someone who wants to be one of those. She's very clearly trying to like make her mark and be a part of the spotlight, but I don't remember her that way in this final tribal.
No, I think maybe this is me doing exactly what I'm going to accuse Eliza of here. This almost feels like a cop-out jury question because it's more of this
question.
Exactly. It's not a question. It's a tone setter. It's like, hey, this is what I expect out of you. And she does go first. So we do see her kind of set the tone for the tribal council. Like, okay, you guys have to be honest. You have to tell me what's going on, because I don't know which of you actually played a game that's worth giving a vote to here. And we see this in a lot of seasons, right? We don't usually get it from our first year. We usually get it from someone who, like, you know, we haven't really seen an edit for in the season. But it kind of sets this question into action of, like, how much is Eliza really paying attention to this? And how much does she care about who her vote goes to? And I think that's the interesting thing about investigating Eliza as our mayor of Ponderosa in this season. Because ultimately, she's not a bitter juror, I would say. I'm getting ahead of myself saying
no,
this.
No, I think I agree.
She's not a bitter juror. She just doesn't like these people. But she takes her responsibility as a juror very seriously, I would say. Especially someone who, you know, works in law. I would imagine she takes her role as a juror quite seriously. But, and again, Final Tribal Council is several hours long. We see a very short and condensed version of it, but that's all we can really speak to because that's what we're shown. So I'm sure there were actual questions from Eliza here. This just seemed like the most pertinent to the outcome of the season. I think it's really interesting looking at this as, okay, we have the mean girl and kind of the ditzy girl here. Which one is more deserving of winning a mostly all-star season of Survivor?
Yeah, and I agree. I think she is better because she does analyze it as their games, because she even states in her final tribal council question, Parvati, you did things that weren't necessarily game related, like talking about me behind my back. And Parvati does a lot more, I guess, mean girl energy things to Eliza throughout the season because they were together the entire time. And Eliza still gives Parvati her vote because she is separating what she feels about these players versus some gameplay that they did throughout the season.
I would love to see Eliza in the modern jury format. I think that
talking
would,
about everything.
That'd be something to watch. Because, like you said, all we see is this snippet of her in her question. There's a lot that we don't see. So I would be interested to see, when it's an open forum discussion, how much she is jumping in there and what she is asking.
Yeah, it's a really good question because... And that's what's so weird about this being Eliza's final tribal council moment in this season. We know Eliza's a much more opinionated person.
I was going to say, I feel like this speech should be more like Corinne, and it's not.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it would have the vitriol that Corinne's speech has, but it does feel like it should be a little more pointed. It should have a little bit more
examples
sway as to what's going on. At least they kind of push it one way or another, because the big thing that I find out of this is, yes, we know in retrospect Parvati gets her vote, but we don't quite understand why that is and why it's Parvati over Amanda here based on how she's presenting herself in this jury.
I think she's also just saying, like, this is what I think, but I'm going to watch everything else. And so probably based on whatever else she listened to, since she was that first question, and we know Amanda tanks final tribal councils.
Yeah, that's true.
It just all leads to Rhodes go to Parvati.
Yeah, I think obviously Amanda, as I previously mentioned, has some of the worst final tribal council performances of all Survivor history. And that does make it a lot easier for Parvati to get votes if there is someone like Eliza who does seem like she's kind of up in the air about which way she wants to go here. And she needs that something to push her over the edge. I think what's really interesting about the way this vote breaks down is Amanda only gets male votes.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, and I think it's also interesting when you pair Eliza with the last year, because I think the last year is also incredibly important. When it comes to these seasons as well.
Maybe and next summer. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. But I think that's very important when you look at, are they aligned or are they not aligned? In this instance, we do see them aligned, right? We see them. We see it where we have Eliza and Suri in these instances, both of who do end up voting for Parvati, right? And I think a lot of that does have to come from respect for the game. And when those who are in line with each other, then how does it fill out the rest of the jury? And you look at it, right? The other votes that end up going Parvati's way are Jason, who was closely aligned with Eliza. So that makes sense how that influence was there. Mm-hmm. And you have Alexis and Natalie, who are both closely aligned with Parvati,
mm-hmm.
but are also are there and will probably, if you're looking at that jury, who do you think those two are spending their time with out of Jason, Ozzy, James, or Eliza?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's something else that's interesting that I don't think we talked much about, but like when the third place or the final juror is the person that a lot of people would have voted for in the end, like how does that change things? And for this season,
new series idea.
Yeah, here we go. they were probably expecting this to be a final three, right? And Eliza, I would imagine, is a vote for Suri. So, mm-hmm. You know, you think that, and then you have 24 hours to process now. Rethink about who you're going to vote for. Basically, you have to reshape the way you look at the entire season and how it played out. So I don't know. I don't know if that factored in here, but I just thought that was mm-hmm. interesting. How when you have such little time to like reorganize the way you saw the game.
That probably does make it so that Suri's a little more influential on this jury than she would be in any other season.
Yeah.
Not that Suri would never not be influential on the jury. But I think in this case specifically, I think you're right, Kyle. Like, I think a lot of people were intending to go into Final Tribal Council with a vote for Suri. So then when Suri is voted out, now it's like, okay, I have to choose between Amanda and Parvati. Which one of them played the better game? Did I relate to better? I do think, like, I think James and Ozzy were really scorned by Parvati, which is why Amanda gets their vote. I think that Eric always had a better relationship with Amanda. That's what we saw throughout the entire edit, which makes sense why he would give her vote his vote to her. But I think Suri's influence here does help sway those people who could have really gone either way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so we are saying Eliza, shockingly, better.
I guess
she's a better juror, if not just for her facial reactions.
Yeah,
like she gives us entertainment. And there are moments like McKenna and I covered Edge of Extinction last week on another podcast. So I rewatched Edge of Extinction. You kind of have Aubrey doing those same type of Eliza reactions on the jury bench, and they're not the same. With Eliza, they seem over the top, but they also seem genuine at the same time. Yeah.
That's how we would react watching what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like Aubrey's in Edge of Extinction feel really over the top. Yeah. So I think even just for that, it's a big thing. Although there has to be a consideration. Is Eliza telling too much about how the jury is feeling about the moves in the game as a juror? And mm-hmm. I think that's something we should really pay attention to moving forward, because I think it does become more and more apparent the further into Survivor we get, where the jury kind of, as these people who are supposed to not reveal what they're thinking and not respond and react to anything, it gets a little more lax after Eliza. And I think it's because production realizes that the audience is kind of glomming on to, oh, this reaction's kind of funny. And as we enter into the social media age, that's the type of thing that gets a lot of clicks on social media.
All right. Now we are going to move into Gabon, which should be a great conversation. Just the fact of Marcus is our first juror here, but he didn't make the merge, but he is our first juror. Marcus goes out at the fake merge summit swap situation.
Yeah.
Where he gets swapped onto a tribe with Crystal. Great, because they find out they have her cousin slash his best friend in common, Kenny. Susie and Bob. Susie and Bob are part of the Coda 6, so he's thinking should be a slam dunk to move forward, but a lot of people are very wary of Susie because she's kind of on the outs of that 6, plus the night before at after Tribal Council, they were like, all right, Susie, you can't just go out and say, I'm voting for Corinne. Like, that's not a good idea. And so now Susie is in this middling position that Kenny and Crystal really use to their advantage to go for Marcus, who is this head of the snake, who's controlling Bob, who's controlling Charlie, Corinne, etc. So they really get a power player out here in Marcus. And I guess good thing they made him the first juror, because after, you know, messing around with the format of, you know, making this not be a merge, he deserved that at least.
Yeah, this is a bizarre situation where you have a swap. We saw it in All Stars, but it's just such a weird time to do a swap, one vote before the merge. It's in a spot where Marcus found the idol and or at least had possession of it and threw it away, which is, you know, that what a shame.
Marcus is actually the one to physically throw the bottle.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I wonder how long he thought
and
about that. Convince
everybody that we shouldn't do that. Like, the fact that it's Marcus and he goes home with that,
it's so crazy. Bad. And what I've heard, just as a rumor, I think Randy has said that this swap was like a last minute thing. Mm-hmm. That was put in to stop a Marcus steamroll.
I can confirm. Randy Bailey has personally said that to me.
Oh, he said that to you? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And he has personally said that to me, that this was, they actually were pulled for this merge and had to wait several hours before being pulled in as production decided whether or not they were going to merge them or swap them here in order to avoid a Coda steamroll of the entire season.
Just let it happen.
So I personally think that Marcus is probably the most screwed player who's ever played Survivor, because I think without this, I think Marcus wins the game. I think the code is dominant. The Onion Alliance dominates, and Marcus is in the best spot of that alliance. So without this, I think we're looking at the winner of the season, but instead he's the first juror, and he takes it surprisingly well.
Yeah, I think Marcus comes in with a good head for the game, and he really understands what's going on the entire time. I think the big thing with him going here is you see a very different post-merge. Like we said, like Coda probably does control that entire post-merge instead of Kenny and Crystal kind of ending up running it instead, which is fascinating. Gabon's awesome. Go and watch Gabon again. You're underrating the season. But Marcus is in such a good position with his alliance with Charlie, within the Coda 6 and everything. But I think he comes in with this real game heavy strategy, game forward strategy, I would say. And I think that's the way he approaches the game, which is what makes him as a first year so fascinating in like the worst gameplay final three we have in the entire series.
It's also his mismanagement of Susie that's his downfall, mm-hmm. but at the same time, he didn't know that he really needed to manage Susie as much as he did because he wasn't expecting a swap. If he knew that maybe a swap was on the horizon or we weren't going to merge, then it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need Susie. If she flips, it'll be 5-5, which isn't great, but at the same time, she's not going to flip to tie the vote. She's going to flip, but she's going to stay the course most likely. So the fact that he didn't manage Susie was his undoing. And then they had a conversation after the immunity challenge, like, well, I'm just going to be 6 if I stick with you guys. If I twist something up here, I at least have a shot at not being 6. So the reason why Marcus goes home here is because he didn't make me, Susie, feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. So he really needed to be like, even more so be like, no, Susie, what are you talking about? I have you in my final three plans. Me, you, and Charlie are going to the final three. I thought that would have been obvious or something like that, where he's like, wait, no, why would you ever think that you weren't in my final three plans or something like that, where he didn't really add to her doubt or he didn't take away from her doubt in him.
Well, Gabon is such a messy season that it's like it's hard to get a tone from this. You know, like how Marcus is
bitter.
Everything is bitter. Nothing makes any sense. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to get from Marcus as a juror. You know, in terms of setting the tone. Like, I know he's
about Ponderosa too. We have Ponderosa now.
That's right. This is where it starts.
I totally forgot around about the time that.
It starts. So, I mean, he is the leader of the Onion Alliance, and him being the first juror as they all come in one by one, like, I think that they would probably look to him and to where he is, to where he's voting. And I guess he just, you know, wanted to vote for Bob instead of Susie.
I think what it comes down to with this, when it comes to Marcus, like I said, in order to really understand Marcus as a juror, we have to understand this final three. This final three consists of Sugar, who is never getting any votes from this jury, no matter what she did, because she just pissed everyone off. And you also have to kind of understand Gabon is a season where this is the season where literally everyone hates each other. There is not, there are like two people who like each other in this entire season, is Marcus and Charlie.
You mean Crystal?
Do they really like each other?
I mean, Charlie likes Marcus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But then you had Susie, who I think this moment here is kind of what ends up, it's one of the ways that costs her the game. Mm-hmm. I know we have Randy going on record being like, hey, like, I probably should have voted for Susie. Susie probably should have won Gabon. But if you look at the fact that Susie loses by a single vote to Bob, who kind of just, the nice guy who ended up sitting at the end and ended up getting 4 of the 7 votes. But if you keep into mind, like, just look at the way that Marcus approaches Susie at this final tribal council. This idea of, like, it's just a game.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you to, like, shirk off this demeanor of, like, being a mother and being a child educator, right? Like, you just, like, got rid of that. It's a game. I can do what I want. I can lie. I can steal. I can do whatever. When you take that into consideration, looking at this, like, that could very well be what cost Susie this game. It's just mismanaging this moment, but this feels like Marcus just being a little bitter towards Susie for actually getting him when he was in a situation to likely win the game.
And with this, he didn't even ask Susie a question with that. He just said a statement, moved on to Bob, being like, as a parent, you need to choose when to be take responsibility and things like that. And did you ever do that in the game? And Bob basically said, no. and then moved on. And I was like, what is going on here? No wonder Marcus had a tough time voting at Final Tribal Council. He didn't, Susie one didn't even get a chance to answer whatever she could have with this question. And then Bob just goes, no, why need to be responsible when I agreed with what you guys were doing in the game? That was good enough for me.
These really may be the three worst performances in Final Tribal history, and they all come from the same season. Yeah. They're all
Amanda gets a pass. Amanda gets a pass
because these three tribal councils happen.
But one thing that I want to discuss a little bit here is if Marcus does get even more robbed and he's not on the jury, Charlie here is the merge boot. And since Marcus votes for Bob, we have a tie at Final Tribal Council, which means Sugar then has to vote for the winner. And Charlie is the first juror. And I don't think Charlie necessarily changes anything if he is the first juror over Marcus. I think they play very similarly. So I think we probably have this split vote with Sugar deciding the winner. And I think we still have Bob because Bob was like her father figure in this game. But the fact that we could have gotten the tie vote situation in 17 instead of 36, wild.
That is wild. I don't think Survivor was ready for them. They wouldn't have let that
happen. No, it wasn't.
Six-person jury would be wild.
I don't think you can have less than a seven-person jury. I just don't think it really works. But I think what is really interesting here is that with the exception of Randy, who was originally on Fong, but kind of got entrenched with that coda after the swap, like Bob gets the coda votes, and that's really what it comes down to. And it's because Susie flips on that swap coda alliance. Right? So I think that's really interesting to take into consideration here. It's kind of almost like a Kageyan situation where it's like the flipper is the person who will never get the votes at the end. Even though, you know, maybe Susie deserved them for being the flipper. Like, the thing is, it's like the cast of Gabon knew the game of Survivor so little that they were never going to just reward the person playing the best game. And that is something interesting when we compare Gabon to Micronesia, because Micronesia has seasoned players, players who have played the game before. And as I was saying earlier, right, you have your returning player go home as your first juror. It kind of sets the tone for a more strategic game to win the season rather than a social game. But in Gabon, this is where, like, knowing your jury is so important. This cast just didn't know Survivor, right? It's what makes this season fun, is because they're all so bad at Survivor because they don't know Survivor. So they have to, like, really rely on the social game a lot more. And because of that, you had to know that going in, and that's where I think Marcus comes in as juror. Marcus comes in and is invalidated by what Susie did to him. And one of the most important things you need to do as a final tribalist is present your case to the jury as to why you are their surrogate to win the season. And I don't think Susie could do that for Marcus because she betrayed him. And, like, Marcus is just not the type of person who's going to let that go, because he's not thinking... As much as he is, like, a savvier game player than most of the people in this season, he's still not thinking game forward when it comes to who he wants to represent the season.
So is Marcus bitter, better, bland, basic,
or whatever other the bees.
Kyle decides.
I'll come up with another one next time.
What are we thinking about Marcus?
The basic.
Yeah,
he's a little bitter. He is a little bitter towards Susie, but I think overall he's pretty neutral.
I'd put him more towards bitter. We didn't even talk about the question he asks Sugar, which is how are you going to use the money?
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, right. Like Sugar's there, and it's like, how are you going to use the million? And would you honor a family member the way I would? This is again an instance of, like, the jury wants you to be their surrogate as the winner of the season, and I think this is bitter because he knew that Sugar wasn't going to say yes. Right? Like, I firmly believe Marcus is a bitter juror.
He might be. I had an interesting thought just off the top of my head. It's a hot take. Susie might be the second closest person to ever winning Survivor.
Yes, that is. I think you're correct.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah.
Dom.
Yeah. After Dom, I was like, really might be Susie, because voting off Marcus, like, she literally couldn't have almost done any better by making that move to vote him out. Like, it's really a tremendous move. But you will never remember it because this season is such a mess.
One thing I love about summer is how easy everything feels. The days are a little more relaxed and I find myself reaching for the same comfortable go anywhere pieces again and again. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on well-made essentials that naturally become those everyday staples you actually live in all season long.
Quince's 100% European linen pants and shirts are breathable, easy to throw on, and a summer upgrade your rotation needs, starting at just $34. And Phil, I told you this before, but I don't often wear linen shirts or linen pants. But now that I have them from Quince, I find myself going back to them time and time again, whether it's an upscale outdoor event or if I'm just hanging by the beach or at the pool, I'm reaching for these shirts all throughout the summer. Also, their tees are soft enough to live in all day, and the lightweight cotton sweaters are exactly what you want when summer nights cool down. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen. So you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a trusted favorite for everything from home to travel to everyday essentials.
Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/specialist for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/specialist with an S at the end for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/specialists. Your paycheck date could soon become the most irrelevant number in your life. Earnin is a non-bank finance app, 5 million people and growing. The concept is almost annoyingly simple. You earn money, you access it. Up to $150 per day of what you've already worked for, up to $1,000 between paychecks. Tips are optional and standard transfers take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers start at $3.99 and cap at $5.99. It's not about emergencies. It's just a better way to exist financially day to day. Worth checking out. Look, you all know I wear a lot of hats, and nothing annoys me more than waiting for money that I earned while due dates inch closer and closer. I did the work, so what's taking so long? We live in an era of instant gratification, so why don't we demand instant access to our money? The most essential thing we need to participate in society is the thing we wait for the most. That's absurd. End the absurdity today. Download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play, spelled like earning money without the G. Type in the specialist under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details.
All right, moving on to token chains, we have Brendan as our first juror, because we have Joe get medevaced, right at the merge. He probably is still pre-jury anyway, but, so Brendan, is the dragon that Coach has to slay. He is like walking target number one. It is present throughout the entire episode. They hide nothing throughout the episode of who is going home, and it's Brendan. And yeah, anybody want to go and talk about Brendan?
Well, Brendan really, he sets a very unique tone. Yes. on this reward, where he says, if JT wins the game, it's like I'm winning the game, which is something we really haven't ever heard again in Survivor. Like, you wouldn't hear this. Now, Brendan is worth $80 million and, you know, doesn't need this money, but still.
He's what?
He's worth like $80 million or something like that.
Something he's brand new to that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's. Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the wealthiest people. I don't know if he was at the time, but he is now. So for him, it's such a crazy thing to say. And it lets you – this is the thing that people point to when they talk about how great JT is like this moment right here, where people are willing to lay down their game for him to win. And if he wins, it is as if, like you said, they're surrogate. It's like, oh man, I love this guy so much. If he wins, it's like I'm winning. And that's unlike anything we've seen.
Yeah, that's the thing is, people kind of credit JT for having this magneticism around him that made it so Brennan would say a comment like this, and you can't discredit the man for that. Mm-hmm. However, this also really does fall on him as a first juror. If Brennan is going in as a first juror being like, JT wins, I win, what is he saying to every single person who gets voted out of the game from there on, right?
Like, yeah.
Even if you feel a type of way about JT, Brendan is going to be like, no, 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 he did it because of this reason. It's totally chill.
Exactly.
JT.
Yeah, he's going to be able to justify absolutely anything JT does. I don't think there's anything JT could have done wrong to not get Brendan's vote here.
Yeah.
and that is something that's really impressive. And does that make a good first juror? I think that's kind of the question here. It's like, it's impossible to say he's a bitter first juror. Brendan is clearly not a bitter first year, but is he actually a better first year? I don't know, because is it good overall to go in so heavily favoring someone into final tribal council? Or at this point, upon exiting the game, being so heavily favored towards someone that doesn't really matter what anyone else is doing, despite the fact that Steven is working his way through the game and everything. And that, of course, like it's so hard to judge in this one because JT does come out with the first perfect game in Survivor history.
Mm-hmm.
But how much of that is because Brennan's just sitting there being like, man, isn't JT just the dreamiest and the best guy ever?
I guess our B word is backing. Backing. Sure. Nope. But yeah, Brendan says in the episode, yeah, JT's a threat, but I want to take him to Final Tribal Council because if he wins, I win. So, you know, let's do it. And as Coach says, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah. Like you said, we have seen it backfire when somebody is so like gung ho about a finalist. But it also has worked, and Brendan doesn't go like all in on JT like we see in later seasons.
No.
So I think that restraint is good. And he also had like his ally Sierra get voted out shortly afterwards. So now you have a couple people in the jury who are like-minded and are championing this guy. And I think JT just had such a stranglehold on the social game in this season. Like it really is unprecedented. And kind of difficult to explain, I guess, how he did this. But he just, there was something about him where on this specific jury, even if Brendan wasn't there, I think this same result would have come. He just had such a lead on Steven in the social department that I think this was always going to happen.
And his final tribal final tribal council question, he basically says like, Steven, like we shouldn't necessarily award you the money and the game for like a participation award or most improved award. It should go to someone who did the best throughout. And JT adds that like learning something doesn't make you better than someone who already knew how to do it. So like Brendan is starting off with Steven on kind of like a lower note of like, hey, let's talk about your opening words and let's knock them down a peg so JT can, you know, use the peg to climb up a ladder rung.
What Brendan does here is kind of just set up JT for just tribal council in general, right? Like one of the things that's really impressive about JT's final tribal council performance is that he's able to just slightly twist everything Steven says to invalidate it. And Brennan really sets him up there by saying, okay, Steven, you said this, but participation trophy, like most improved, isn't an award that wins something, even though like a lot of the times it can be, just putting that out there, that is actually a valid way of winning things sometimes.
It's a literal award in sports.
most improved player. I mean, sorry, I'm NHL minded as a Canadian, right? But like the Jack Adams Award, which is the best coach of the year, often like when you get into consideration for talking it, it's like, hey, what team sucked the most last year?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, like there are ways of winning things for being most improved. Sure, it isn't like the grand prize a lot of the time, but sometimes it is. And Brennan just sets it up where JT can be like, okay, but like you're good. Okay, you got better, but I was already this good. Like, and you can match me. And I think Brennan really does set that tone for JT to be able to do that for the rest of this tribal council.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So if Joe is the first juror, I don't think anything changes, obviously, because Joe was Jalapau and part of the four that came in. But his relationship with Aaron, who we saw in this episode a little bit from her eyes, and she's the final juror, like we were talking about, it could have some sort of an impact if JT wasn't just so dominant throughout the game. But because JT was just kind of steamrolling everything, I think even if Joe is the first juror here, we have the same exact result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the thing is, it's really interesting with Joe because he was medevac, right? So he's never betrayed out of the game or ever on the wrong side of the numbers. So it doesn't really impact the way he would view the game, which just means that I don't think it really influences his decision. I don't think it would influence his decision as to whether or not he wants to vote for JT over Steven here. Right. And just like circling back to Brennan for a second, Brennan was voted out with an immunity idol that JT and Steven knew about. And like still isn't bitter about it, really. Like,
well, because he said in his final words of like, how am I supposed to be bitter about this when I didn't know it was coming? You can't be upset about something that you didn't know was coming.
Isn't that great? Would it be great if every Survivor player just
I need some bitterness. Great final words. I was like, this is a great way to view Survivor by going out with an idol.
Yeah. I think it just goes to show that Brennan has a lot of respect for the game.
Better.
Here's an interesting thing though, is that he calls Steven most improved, or says, you know, which implies that Steven was, you know, bad at the start. Yeah. But Brennan and Steven were in the Exile Alliance together, which is very forward thinking strategy. So it does surprise me that Brennan did not consider that or hold that in higher regard, because it was clear from the start that Steven, you know, was very smart and good at the
Brendan
game.
Brendan continuously fumbled the bag on the Exile Alliance throughout the entire season. Like, that could have been so much stronger if Brendan was better.
That's right. He was the one that screwed that up.
On multiple occasions.
I think in the end, Brendan is a better juror. Even though like he does go in stumping for JT here, I think like the way he approaches the game, the way he approaches his final tribal council question, isn't in a way to make anyone look better or worse. I think he's genuinely just looking for clarification from Steven to be like, okay, how is this? Like, make your argument. And Steven kind of fumbles the bag a bit, and JT just continues to like throw more bags at him for him to fumble.
All right, let's go on to Samoa. We have Eric Cardona as our first juror. He is another one that kind of simps for the winner and really pushes her to the win, maybe by his convincing final tribal council speech. It's not even a question, it's just a statement, and he says it last. So these are like the last words that you're hearing, and I think it's hard to judge Eric because I really do like some parts of his question and how, you know, like maybe who you think is the least deserving is actually the most deserving to win the game. And he really is running a lot of galoo. People think, you know, Eric is going to make the decision, tell us what the vote is, and then we go and do the vote, is what Shambo says. So he really is a kingpin throughout the game. And I think that's similar to kind of what Marcus is in Gabon, and then he gets cut here at the merge because Russell, you know, makes this decision with the Foa Foas to get Eric out because Eric is really bossing them around of vote this way and you'll stay in the game. We want Russell to flush his idol. And then you'll just, you guys are good. Don't worry about it. You know, Monica's going.
I know a lot of people don't like this type of speech, right? And I understand. I am personally not too bothered by it because I think that this might be the best jury speech of all time. Just in terms of scale, in terms of like impact, delivery, especially for someone who was drunk. I think that like, and this was great. This really sets a tone. This is one of the most tone-setting jurors because it gives the audience an idea of the tone because this season is dominated in the edit by Russell. Mm-hmm. So when you're watching the season for the first time, you don't really know that Natalie is going to like win this game, right? Like, you know, people are pissed off at Russell, but people have been pissed off at others and won the game before. So in this case, it gives the audience like a window. It is like the turning point where it's like, oh, Natalie is going to win this season now. And this is the moment where that becomes clear. So I think for a lot of reasons, this stands out as one of the most impactful jury speeches and jurors of all time.
I would argue this is one of the most impactful jury speeches in the like annals of Survivor.
Oh yeah.
And that is because every single time we get a stump speech after this, it just has to be compared to the full Cardona, right? Like, it's not the full Murphy because you're not in proposing, but when you look at Eric Cardona's speech, like, and this is the reason why I think so many of these other similar like stump speeches that we do get in later seasons don't compare because it isn't the same, right? It isn't the same. It isn't in, they're never in the same situation, right? Like, the ones that come to mind, right? You have the aforementioned David Murphy, who's talking about Boston Rob. Okay, no one needs to be convinced to vote Boston Rob. You have, I feel
like this is almost similar to the snakes and the rats, just the way it was the way it's framed. So that's why like maybe the least deserving is actually the most deserving. Maybe the, you know, the snake should eat the rat just like the island intended. I think they have a lot of similarities. So that's why we hold it in a little bit higher of regard, or it has a little bit, it like triggers a little bit in your brain of like, this is impactful. This is a good speech. This is, you know, something that is long lasting because it has similar notes of snakes and rats.
Yeah, that's a really good point, McKenna. And I think like the other thing is because of the edit of the season, it seems like we're seeing this like underdog. Like this person, you're at a point when you're watching Samoa for the first time that you think Russell's running away with this the way he has run this entire game. Mm-hmm. And then to hear this speech for Natalie, like really in lifting up Natalie, this speech really puts Russell down because it really highlights how terrible Russell's social game is. Mm-hmm. And one thing to remember, Natalie's the reason Eric goes home.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Natalie puts in all of the work with her relationships with the woman on Galoo to make this vote happen. Right. Yeah. And as much as like Russell's running everything, Natalie's the one who puts in the work with Laura, puts in the work with Monica, who makes sure that Eric goes home here at the merge and really flips this game around for the Foa Foas. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's an interesting thought that I just came up with. So, Eric, we know that this is obviously an impactful jury speech, but I'm curious if this is a case where, like, the other jurors are setting the tone for him because he didn't spend very much time with any of these Foa Foas, right? He didn't spend enough time with Natalie to know, you know, how great she is or how bad Russell is. He's hearing how bad Russell is from everybody that's coming in. So I think his opinion is influenced a lot by that. And like you said, Russell's not even the one who got him out. So he can't, what's he bitter at Russell for, right? He's like, you know, arrogance, all this and that. He knows that because what he's hearing from everybody who's coming in. So I think that this is really, as impactful as it is, it might be a manufactured opinion. and perception of the game.
You Brad Culpepper with Candace. She has not experienced anything with Brad Culpepper, right. But is pissed at him for.
Candace also doesn't say that.
Yeah, Candace doesn't say that, but
she's involved in
that sentiment is there. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And my biggest question with the way that Eric is as a juror, I think you're right, Kyle. I think the fact that Eric comes in and has this big stump speech and you're like, why? Why is this happening? You were the first juror. Mm-hmm. You didn't spend time with Natalie. You didn't really spend time with Russell. How do you know this is going on?
Right. He gives the thumbs up to Russell when Russell pulls out the idol on Kelly. He goes, oh, yeah, man. Like, you would think that he'd be all in on Russell, but yeah.
I think that might be more of an anti-Galoo thing.
Probably.
But I do think the stories of people talking about Russell at camp afterwards really do impact Eric here. And that is a really good point, Kyle, that sometimes your first juror doesn't have a good sense of what's going on, especially in this season that didn't have any swaps, right? You kind of had the kidnap mechanic in this season. So there was a little bit of cross-tribal interaction. But other than that, you didn't have these groups weren't mingling with each other. And what my biggest question for Eric as a juror comes in is like, did this actually sway anyone or were these votes there already?
Yeah. I would think probably they were there already. Like, I don't know if there is a jury speech that really has changed anybody's opinion, from a juror talking to.
We do know a couple. It's mostly negative for the most part. It's like,
oh yeah,
like we know that like Sue's jury speech lost.
Oh right, yes, vote, yeah,
right, and so yes, there are some examples of it, but for the most part, I think most people go into a final tribal council at least 70% sure who they're voting for.
Yeah, and this is also like one of those notes that producers might have wanted to, you know, leave the final tribal council on as opposed to some of the other questions or statements. It like wraps it up really nicely. So whether, you know, it is impactful to the other jurors, maybe not, but it is like those final words like ringing in the audience's head and the juror's head before voting. So Eric Cardona, is he bitter, better?
I think he's better. He is bitter, but he's not trying to bring somebody else down. He's trying to pull somebody else up. So I think he's better for sure.
Yeah, I think he's better. I think any juror who goes in trying to afford an opportunity for someone they might view as not being given a fair chance. I think that is a good way of looking. Like he's picking people up where a lot of we've already referred to some tribal council speeches like Corinne's in the two seasons prior to this, right? That put people down. This is one that pulls people up. And I think when you're pulling people up, it's always a better aspect for the jury.
And Natalie's never gonna do this on her own. She's not gonna give herself this kind of grandiose, uplifting speech. Like Tony will do that. Spencer does not need to do that for Tony. Yeah. But for Natalie, it's different because she won't do this for herself.
Yeah. Alrighty. Now we are on to heroes versus villains. And Coach is our first juror. And I feel like everybody was shocked once Jeff said, and our first juror, Coach. But he blames Russell, or he blames really Jerry for Boston Rob going home. And now that he needs to align with Russell to get either Sandra or Courtney out because they're weaker, he is so focused on challenge performance and that kind of strength and not necessarily inner strength, because I feel like Coach can swing a few ways with strength and honor and integrity and all that, where it can be like an inner strength to persevere, to move forward, but also physical strength within the challenges. So he is so focused in Final Tribal Council of like, Parvati, you actually surprised me with your strength and your prowess. And Sandra, you kind of were just there. And Russell, you are a little man in stature and in character, which is what Rob also calls Coach. You're a little man. So There's that too. But Coach ultimately votes for Parvati here. And it's just, I feel like the ways that he's saying it in Final Tribal Council, he's just voting for Parvati because he doesn't want to vote for Sandra and he doesn't want to vote for Russell.
Yeah.
And he's just finding a way to say something of, I guess you surprised me in the challenges. I thought you were going to be weak, but you actually weren't. Great. You get my vote. Like, he doesn't really have a good reason why he's voting Parvati. It's just, he has many reasons why he's not voting for the other two.
Yeah. I think one of the big things here with Coach is I think Coach is a terrible for sure. I'm just going to put it out there right away. I think because of the way Coach approaches the game, like all four times we see him, terrible personality is your first year. And I think that is why he ends up voting the wrong way here at Final Tribal Council. He doesn't vote for the winner. That would be considered voting the wrong way, McKenna.
Okay, technically.
Technicalities here. I will stand by it. And he doesn't seem to be in touch with the rest of the jury, right? Like, mm-hmm. You look at the people who vote for Parvati. It's Jerry, who was with her the entire time. It was Danielle, who was with her the entire time. All the heroes vote for Sandra. Courtney votes for Sandra. And I think what it really comes down here, Coach was looking... I think you're right, McKenna. I think Coach was looking for an excuse to vote for Parvati, even though the easiest thing he could have said was, like, Parvati, you duped me. Like, but the problem is in doing that, he gives credit to Russell as well.
Mm-hmm. So we had and to takes find a credit way. Away from himself. Like he is and admitting.
Credit away from himself. I that failed. Too, right? Yeah. And I think that's really what we see in Coach. And that's why I don't think he's a very good first juror. Because this is someone who is so proud. He is such a proud man that if you don't feed into that ego, you're just not going to get his vote. And mm-hmm. This is, again, a situation of like being able to play into a juror. The thing is like, none of these three people were going to feed into Coach's ego. So he just had to go with the one who, like, I guess he liked the most.
And also, Coach isn't a very impactful first juror because nobody takes him seriously enough.
Yeah. So if that was Coach what I was going to say.
Gonna, yeah, sorry for stealing your thought.
Oh, no, that's all right. Yeah. Means it was a good thought.
Coach is, if he goes out and is like, all right, Parvati's doing this, that, and the other thing, or like trying to, you know, explain away some of Parvati's, you know, mishaps or whatever, they're not going to take him seriously enough to really go for her as the winner of the season. They're still going to stick with somebody else. Now, Courtney comes in next and is the biggest Sandra lover on the jury. So she's now pushing that Sandra narrative for some people as well. So, I mean, we can touch a little bit here on Courtney because she's the second juror, but she doesn't make the merge. The actual merge boot is JT. I think Courtney being the second juror really impacts a Sandra win here. And I do think JT still keeps that Sandra win, but maybe he's a bit more open because he is a bit it's a game, like we all came here to play, but Sandra was the one to reach out to the heroes to be like, hey, shit's going down, don't trust these guys, and they said no, we're gonna keep doing our thing, Russell's good. So I still do think that even if the jury starts with JT, who was the merge boot, that we still see a Sandra win, but the impact of, I guess, Coach with Courtney's really the one I think that really is driving some of the Sandra votes here.
Mm-hmm. I'd almost argue that Russell and Parvati are driving the votes for Sandra here, right? I think as much as we don't want to say the heroes are bitter, the heroes are bitter. Like, it's a bitter group of heroes, and they don't like the fact that they were pulled, that one was pulled over on them. But more importantly, they don't like the fact the way it was pulled over on them, right? And I think that's really what it comes into here. And like you said, Sandra was providing this olive branch to the heroes the entire time, being like, use me. We can get rid of them. It's fine. And I think when we look at Coach is just not involved in any of that. And that's the thing. And this, I think,
is just so whack to me. And we discussed this a little bit earlier with Brad last episode, but it's these pre-merge jurors, how can they have influence on the game if they haven't even fully played with half the jury?
Well, yeah, this season had no swap.
It had no swap.
Like it, Fiji and Cook Islands and Gabon, like at least they all had swaps. Like this is one where luckily everybody in the final tribal was someone who coach had met, but there's a chance he could have met none of them. So, and we also, with this, we get the anti-Russell train started right away with coach. Whereas, like I said, with Eric, he didn't really spend enough time with Russell. Russell's social game got worse and worse as time went on. Now, in this season, it still got worse and worse as time went on. It just started earlier because now the people who started the jury had been with Russell. So, like, it got that time, you know, gave that some time to fester, if you will.
Coach also caused his own downfall. He was he also wanted that pizza so bad that he sat Sandra and Courtney out of a bowling challenge. And it's like they're saying, like, Coach is the reason why they lose this immunity challenge, even though he's the only one to score a point. But it's because they have to now play Sandra and Courtney in the immunity challenge and not have to and not sit out one of them or both of them because Coach is like needs pizza.
Ah, well, we might argue Coach sealed his own fate when he went against Boston Rob in this season, right? Like, I think there are many faults to Coach's heroes.
No, I mean, I'm just specifically talking this episode where Coach went home.
Yeah.
But yes, going against Boston Rob for Coach, bad idea.
I just think Coach isn't the type of person you want as a juror in general. Like, I think this is what I think Coach is a bad juror because he is so opinionated about the game, because he is so, we see it in 50, right? He's so about honor and integrity and everything that he's going to vote that way no matter what. He's essentially always going to vote for his ally. I think even if you look at like his token chains game where he's voting, right? He's voting for JT because JT is the one who really he saw as the honorable person to take the win at the end. I think it's kind of the same thing here where it's like there's dishonor among thieves with this final tribal council or this final three, but he's still kind of going with who he views as the most honorable of them and the person who was fighting their way through challenges and performing well and not riding coattails or anything or being ultimately scheming and stuff like that.
And also Sandra is the reason why Coach gets out of the game too. Right. It's not Russell or Parvati. It is Sandra pushing the narrative to Russell, who then makes the move.
Russell gets outplayed here.
Sandra makes the move, really.
Yeah. It's an interesting final three to me because this is one I generally have a good idea of who I would vote for in a final three. This one I really don't know. I go back and forth all the time. So it's hard for me to like think about it from that perspective. In terms of like, are they bitter or better? I don't know because like, I don't know who I personally would have voted for. So
I think he's just a terrible juror. I don't care where in the jury he is.
There you go. Bad.
I think there are two places you want Coach in your season. And if I was like on a beach with Coach, I'm either taking him to the end of the game with me or I am voting him out as early as possible.
Yeah.
Maybe not as early as possible, but like right before jury starts.
Because
like McKenna said,
challenge.
Like McKenna said, they didn't know that the jury was going to start here.
No,
like I'm sure they were thinking that somebody probably thought that. Like I don't want Coach on the jury, and then all of a sudden he's on the jury. So it's like, well, what?
Alrighty. So that is the end of this episode of Bitter or Better. Thank you all for watching and liking this series. We love all the comments that we've been getting on these videos of how interesting, you know, these topics are. We've had a great time talking about them so far, but we are ready to keep trucking on next week with seasons 21 through 25. And what do we got going on, Specialist Universe, John?
Well, we still have Winning Survivor going on every Thursday, where Phil and Once Upon an Island are discussing the five seasons we talked about today. They will talk about tomorrow. They will talk about those winners. Tegwith is still doing her Survivor China rewatch. She had an episode of Surviving the Fandom earlier this week, which is really great. So make sure to check that out. And on Tuesday, we will be premiering the start of our five-episode series where we are ranking the Survivor winners. We specialists have all made a list, and there is an aggregate list that I haven't seen yet, but still presumably has, that will rank these winners based on the opinions of the specialists. So that'll be a ton of fun because we love making arbitrary rankings of things.
Yes. All right, everybody. So you will catch us next week with another episode of Bitter or Better. Goodbye.